Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 3, the Chicago Center for Supernatural Support. This is Episode 3, Josh. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. Josh's mom pretended she wasn't crying, and Josh pretended to be asleep, pretended he couldn't hear her. It was hard to sleep in the hospital. Even though they'd turned the lights down, it wasn't dark. Even though the nurses kept giving him more and more blankets, and they weren't scratchy or anything, they just weren't his blankets. This bed that didn't recline all the way wasn't his bed. His mom always made fun of him for how he'd roll onto his belly and sprawl out, limbs that had grown too fast hanging off the side of the bed, sticking out from under his quilt, a drool spot blooming under his face. Now the tubes and wires and more tubes kept him on his back. The pain kept him from sleeping. He wouldn't have to pretend too much longer, because the nurses all started coming in to check his monitors and move his fluid bags around at about 7. They tried to be quiet in a way that just made them louder, hissing, "Sorry, go back to sleep," as the tubes on the back of his hand jerked and his bed shuddered and the machine on the floor honked. A doctor would come in to check on him sometime between 7 and 8, and they would snap on the lights as they came in and then ask him a bunch of questions about how he was feeling, how he was moving, like he could move enough with all the IV lines to have anything to tell them. It wasn't really worth trying to sleep after that, and his mom would pull herself together the second someone came into the room, so there wouldn't be any point in pretending to sleep. After a week in the hospital, he knew the routine. He had big plans to watch Finding Dory on TV. He'd secretly wanted to see it, even though it was a baby movie, and this was the perfect opportunity because no one would know, and he would have a good excuse. His mom's breath shuddered. A knock at the door and the light snapped on as the doctor walked in, and Josh was so surprised that the doctor was early that he didn't think to pretend to be groggy, like he was just waking up. Like, with a big fake yawn and as much of a stretch as he could manage. Probably for the best he hadn't thought of it, because thinking about it, now a minute too late, made his side seize up in protest. It was a new doctor today. Not that that was unusual. He hadn't seen the same doctor twice the whole time he'd been here. But the doctor was looking at him and his mother rather than at his clipboard, and that was new. He also had someone else with him. A woman in a blazer with red hair frizzing from her bun. 2 years from now, Josh would be at his first annual CCSS summer camp, helping the red-haired woman cook hot dogs on a grill in the parking lot. She'd show him how to stack the charcoal, how to spritz it down with lighter fluid. She'd let him use the lighter, but before he could get the pyramid lit, a fire sprite would dance in and set the thing ablaze, and he'd drop the lighter and chase after her with one of the water balloons from the bucket. And she'd shriek and laugh and hunch up her shoulder, twisting to block the explosion of water. And he'd come trotting back with half his t-shirt damp to learn how to prod the hot dogs over so there were nice black grill marks on all the sides. He'd eat his hot dog with mustard and relish, sitting cross-legged on a picnic blanket next to a banshee kid who talked nonstop about Pokemon, and Josh would listen, enraptured. "I hope I'm not waking you too early," the doctor said. "I'm Dr. Cohen, and this is Miss Green. She's a social worker with expertise in the little test I'm going to give you. How are you feeling this morning? Get any sleep?" "A little," Josh said. His voice cracked a little, a happy accident that made his lie more convincing. "Well, I've got something for you this morning," the doctor said. He lowered his clipboard, holding it flat, careful to keep it just so. Instead of charts or big rows of numbers, x-rays of his arm or scribbled notes about his blood levels or lungs or immune system, the clipboard held a single piece of paper. There was a circle drawn on it with tiny words circling it. They were too small and cramped to make out. "Hold it like this and pass your hand over it like this," the doctor demonstrated, waving his hand over the paper. "Can you do that for me?" "Sure," Josh said. Who couldn't do that? Maybe it was to see how well he moved his arm. He took the clipboard and the doctor surrendered it slowly, carefully. Josh followed his lead and held it like it was delicate. He passed his hand over the paper, like he was wiping a table clean. And his hand bumped something. It stopped. It wouldn't pass across the page. He pressed more, turning his wrist to push with his palm and fingers instead of the side of his hand. His fingers wrapped around an invisible column, a column the same size as the circle on the page. What? How did that work? His mom moved to the very edge of her chair and reached out to pass her own hand over it. It went straight through, just like the doctor's. How'd you do that? He asked. What do you mean, how'd I do that? What are you doing? She asked. Nothing. My hand doesn't go through. You look like a mime. A what? You know. She put her hands up in front of her like she was pressing against a window and raised her eyebrows, making a funny O with her mouth. He had no idea what she was doing. He tried again, this time with his left hand, the one strapped to the IV and the heartbeat monitor. Again, his hand didn't go through. He could see the pads of his fingers flatten, pale with the pressure. His mom frowned. She reached for his hand and pulled. While her hand went straight through, while a tube slipped over his wrist and went through, Josh's hand didn't move. It just flattened more. Ow, Mom! She jerked back and demanded, "What's going on?" A shadow passed over the doctor's face, then vanished like maybe that was just what he looked like when he swallowed. He turned and looked around for the little rolling stool all the doctors used when walking his mom through Josh's surgeries. Josh returned to the mystery of the paper. He leaned in, squinting to get a better look at the writing on the circle. But the red-haired woman grabbed him. "Careful." She held the tipping end of the cardboard in one hand, Josh's forehead in the other, pushing the two apart before removing her hand from his head. Josh hadn't even seen her move beside him. "Let me show you." She took the clipboard gently, aiming it like straightening a rearview mirror. It aimed to the side, then tilted toward him. The invisible column pushed against his arm. The sleeve of his gown didn't flutter. She turned the clipboard all the way around, so he could no longer see the paper, and the column pushed against his toes. The blanket moved weird. Moved because his toes had curled under the blanket, instead of because something had squished it. She righted the clipboard and handed it back. "It's like a column is coming straight out of the circle, so don't bonk your head." He leaned in slowly this time, resting his forehead against the invisible column. The words on the paper weren't English, not that he could tell. There didn't seem to be spaces between the words, so maybe he was just reading it wrong. Maybe they were just really big words. But some of the letters didn't look like the normal alphabet. "That's cool," he said. He tried to pass his hand through again. "How does it work?" There had to be some kind of trick to it. "This is called a ward," the woman said. "People with very specific abilities can't cross the line." She smiled at him, and he smiled back. A bunch of people at the hospital had already told him he was a superhero. That was a thing they said to kids, apparently, and it felt good to hear, and did make him feel better. But since it wasn't true, it didn't really answer Josh's question about the ward. As the doctor settled into his seat, adjusting his white doctor coat, he asked, "Tell me, Josh, what do you know about werewolves?" The doctors always had weird ways to ease him into bad news. "You like baseball?" had turned into explaining that he was hooked up to a vacuum pump because his lung had collapsed. "What's your favorite subject in school?" had turned into explaining that he was having a mild reaction to one of the painkillers, and that's why he itched. "They turn into wolves at the full moon, and if one bites you, you turn into a werewolf," Josh said. "Ever met one?" the doctor asked, pulling his coat up over his knee so it didn't drag on the floor. Josh rolled his eyes. "They're not real." The doctor turned then to Josh's mom, raising his eyebrow to ask if she'd ever met a werewolf. She smiled a bit as she said, "No." "Well," the doctor said, and here it came, the completely unrelated bad news. At least this doctor had put his mom at ease first. "As Miss Green already told you, this is called a ward, and certain people can't cross the circle. They can't go in, and if the circle was drawn around them, they couldn't get out. The circle affects you because you have a disorder called lycanthropy." Josh's mom took a deep breath, building herself up like she was putting on armor. There'd been so many complications over the past week, she was resigned to just about anything. "Is this another effect of the blood transfusion, or is this something he caught in here?" "It's actually from his initial attack," the doctor said. "He caught it from the wolf that attacked him." Josh's eyebrows rose. His mom's body jerked with surprise. A wolf? I thought it was a rabid dog. What's a wolf doing in Chicago? How would you even know that? Did they catch it? Yes, actually. It was the woman who answered. We've caught it, and we're taking measures to ensure it doesn't hurt anyone again. Josh's mom huffed. I hope those measures involve putting the thing down. Both the woman and the doctor looked uncomfortable. The doctor cleared his throat. More to the point, we know it was a wolf that bit you, Josh, because you have lycanthropy. I want to assure you that you will live a long, normal, happy life. Once your injuries are healed. Long, normal life, his mom said. So, what, there's no cure? There is no cure, but as I said, Josh will be perfectly normal except for what? The pitch of his mom's voice rose. Her eyes were still red and underlined in deep bruises. Her cheeks had sunken from days of eating nothing but croissant sandwiches from the Aubon Pain downstairs. Spit it out! What are you telling me? The woman pulled a tablet from under her arm, tapping it a few times. It's easiest to explain by showing it. We have an informative video if you'd like to watch. Josh's mom looked skeptical, ready to argue that that was not answering her questions. The doctor looked like he was biting his tongue. Josh took the tablet anyway and started the video. A white woman in blue scrubs sat in a room, in the center of a circle the same as the one on the clipboard, but bigger, and not drawn on paper, but carved into the floor. Her hair was loose in a way that looked like it wasn't loose often. She pushed her hand against the barrier, showing that it lurked on her, just like it did on Josh. Josh couldn't have imagined it, but one day he would climb into this woman's lap after a transition, breathing deep from under her ear, snuggling up like a puppy. She'd shift his weight and dig into her pancake, stacked taller than her glass of orange juice, not pausing in her conversation with the werewolf across the table, whose cheeks were also stuffed with pancake, her lips sticky with syrup, as she nodded enthusiastically. Josh's mom would take a seat next to him, her eyes bright from a long, caffeinated night, and her smile glowing, and she'd rub his back as she sipped coffee, and called out a compliment to Todd on the breakfast he'd made. The werewolves would cheer their approval, and Josh would let loose a howl, and Todd would wave his spatula from the griddle in the kitchen area, an apron with bees on it tied around his waist. Hi there, the woman in the video said. My name is Darcy, and if you're watching this, you have lycanthropy, just like me. It's going to be hard to hear, and you're not going to believe Miss Green or Dr. Cohen. You're not going to believe me. I don't really expect you to, because it's a lot to take in. What you do need to do is come to the center 28 days from when you were bitten and spend the night here. I know that sounds super sketchy, but it's for your own safety as well as the safety of everyone around you. If the person who bit you had been here, you wouldn't have been bitten. You wouldn't be watching this video. His mom started to complain again, but the red-haired woman murmured that she'd answer questions in a moment as the woman on the video kept talking. Wait for it. The doctor took a deep breath. So what is lycanthropy? Josh hadn't noticed at first because the video quality wasn't the best, but now there was an obvious tremor in the woman's limbs. Her voice shook slightly. Her breathing had picked up. Well? She swallowed hard, squeezing her eyes shut. Her arms shook in earnest, the shiver working into her neck, her loose hair shaking. Buckle up. This'll be you in a month. Josh dropped the tablet. His mom was shouting. His hands were over his eyes, watching through his fingers until clapping his hands to his ears. He couldn't look away. He couldn't look away. What's happening to her? His face was wet. His mom was hugging him. She snatched the tablet from his lap, nearly throwing it back at the red-haired woman. How dare you show that to him? How dare you? That is a sick, sick joke. I'm calling security. Who even are you? She jabbed the nurse call button. She grabbed for the phone on the table. The doctor sighed again. I hate that video. The woman sighed right back and muttered, Once you say werewolf, the conversation's over. With grim faces, they watched Josh. And there was no way they were joking. After a moment, the woman turned back to the tablet. She started the movie again, turning it around for Josh to see, but not surrendering it. A wolf paced around the circle where the woman had... where she'd... It snarled at whoever was holding the camera. The floor was littered with shredded fabric. The scrubs the wolf woman had been wearing. The red-haired woman turned the tablet around, fast-forwarded a bit, and then turned it back around again. The wolf woman was back, human again. Something broke and loosened in Josh's chest. He'd been holding himself so stiff, so tense that his muscles screamed. The wolf woman was in different scrubs. Her hair was wild. Her eyes were bloodshot, just like Josh's mom's. "I'm so, so sorry you had to see that," she said. Her voice was hoarse. She looked exhausted. But she was alive. Miraculously, she was alive. "I'm perfectly normal 98% of the time. I'm married. I have a job. I like to go bike riding. You'll be 98% normal too. But you have to understand. You have to understand that that other 2% of the time, I'm dangerous. You're dangerous. You're a danger to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to yourself. It's not something you can handle alone. You might be tempted to try next month, to not believe me, to just ignore the truth you know deep in your heart. You can feel it. Please, please, please come to the center. You're not the monster, but you control if that monster gets out into the city. And trust me, it's so much nicer to transition at the center than in a storage unit out in the suburbs. That's what I was doing before. They take care of me here. They take care of all of us. Dr. Cohen keeps everyone healthy, and they make the night pass as peacefully as they can. Please come. Because, and against all odds, the woman smiled. I really want to meet my newest pack member. Pack member. It hit him right in the chest. He hadn't known until that moment, but he needed a pack the way he needed to eat something salty with a bunch of cheese. Later, Josh would make matching friendship bracelets for the people in his pack, and they would wear them every month, removing them before the transition as they removed their shoes, setting them carefully in their lockers. August and Bailey would wear theirs every day. Derek would hold his up to show he was wearing it just before they did their secret handshake. Later, Josh would be in a summer camp picture, 15 kids in uneven rows, their arms thrown over each other's shoulders, their grins way too wide. But today, his mom stood over his bed, like a mother wolf over her cub. She shouted, ready to throw the phone at the doctor, since she was too wound up to figure out how to call security. "Mom," Josh said, cutting through her ranting. "Mom, they're right." "What?" She spun on him, her eyes full of rage. He'd never seen her so mad. It put her griping at him to do the dishes to shame. He'd never seen her so scared. "These people are lying. They're cruel and they're lying. I mean, werewolves, Josh? Really? You want to make my son think he's a werewolf? He's 7 years old." "And we want him to live to be 90, said the red-haired woman. "I can feel it, Mom," Josh said. "I can feel it." His mom was shaking as bad as the woman in the video. "Mom?" He reached for her hand. "Mom, the woman in the video said I'd be fine. I'm going to be fine." His mom stared at him. The phone fell to the floor, a crash and a clang, and she fell right after it, covering his body with her own, squeezing him so, so tight. She sobbed and didn't care if he knew. The 20% True podcast is written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahman. Music composed by Kamiku. If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can leave comments and ask questions. Check out my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at CarrieNTheHits.